church family, we're so glad to see you this morning. There is great power in the blood of Jesus, which he shed for us. Let's stand up and sing about that today.
Wonder working power in the blood. Good morning, church family. What a joy it is to be able to celebrate baptisms today as we begin our service together. Both of these children trusted Jesus Christ and are wanting to now let you know about that by following the Lord in believer's baptism. First, we have coming Macy Johnson. Stand up on that brick right there. This is Macy. Macy, have you trusted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior?
Yes, sir.
Then based upon your profession of faith in Jesus Christ, I baptize you, my sister in Christ, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Buried with Christ in baptism, raised to walk in newness of life. Amen. Nick? Let me stand up right here. This is Mr. Nick McGill's. Nick trusted Jesus Christ just a couple of weeks ago during our worship service, and he is following through with believer's baptism. Nick, have you trusted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior?
Yes, sir.
Then based upon your profession of faith in Jesus Christ, I baptize you now, my brother in Christ, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Yes, sir.
Right. Buried with Christ in baptism, raised to walk in newness of life.
Amen.
Got it? All right. Isn't it good to see decisions being made? Let's continue in worship. Kimberly.
What a great morning to be in the house of the Lord to witness these baptisms. We are so glad that you have joined us for worship today. If you're a first-time guest, we ask that you fill out our connection card found in your worship guide. And if you're watching online on our iCampus, go to fbcpineville.net/connect so we can do just that, connect with you. We want to get to know you a little bit better and how we can serve your family and how we can connect and do life with you. If you are a first-time guest here in the audience, in the worship time, we ask that you meet Stuart, our pastor, at the end of the service in the foyer, and he has a gift to give you. It is so great to be in the house of the Lord. Why don't you join us as we sing songs of worship this morning?
Our Jesus is enough. Would you say or that today, Jesus is enough, amen? Why don't we stand up and let's proclaim that truth together? Our Christ.
Now the sun in his glory.
Let us pray. Father, we thank you for the opportunity to worship with our tithes, our offerings, to give back to you what you've given to us. Father, for we are stewards, and stewardship is what it's all about, obedience and giving back to you and worshiping with what we give. Thank you, Father, for what you've given to us. In Jesus' name, amen.
God of creation speaks to my heart just the same. He tells the wind when to speak and be still. He calms my soul when nothing else will. The God that I serve is the God of Abraham, Jacob, and Isaac, and all who believe. He is the Lamb and the Light of Jerusalem. The Lamb for the lost, lonely soul. He suffered the lamb of us on a Mount Calvary. By his stripes I am made whole. And why should I worry when trouble is near? He's my deliverer. I will not fear. Alleluia. The God that I serve is the God of Abraham, Jacob,
helps if I turn myself on. Sorry about that, Danny. That's the God we serve, and what a joy it is to be able to celebrate that every time. And I come bringing you greetings from the South Campus, because we had another person join that campus this morning, so we continue to rejoice in what God is doing there. And I told them to pray for us as we baptize too this morning and continue to celebrate what God is doing here. God is working, and we're so grateful for the way that he is speaking to us all. Have you ever taken a moment to watch ants? As a kid, I'd get in trouble for watching ants and playing in ant beds. But, you know, maybe you've put some crumbs of food down and you watch a worker ant find that food and then go somewhere. You don't know where. She goes off. And then soon there's a whole bunch of ants in a whole line coming to that food and going back, because that worker ant leaves an invisible trail that those other worker ants can follow. Working together, ants can do the impossible. Have you ever watched a group of ants carrying something much bigger than themselves? I mean, maybe it was like another huge insect, and they're all just doing that together. Do you know each ant, one individual ant, can lift 20 times its weight? That would be like you or me going out and picking up a car, throwing it on our back and walking off. So when they all get together, they can really do some amazing things. They will even problem solve together to move their giant dinner around and over obstacles. Ants are one of nature's examples of working together for the benefit of the whole. Each ant has a job to do and performs that job with excellence. And because they do that, no matter what we do, we can't get them out of our yards. They will move just 3 or 4 feet away from where we just poisoned the last mound. So we might say that ants can do the impossible, and they cannot be stopped. And I think that's what we want to be like as the people of God. That we want to do the impossible and not be stopped in pursuing God's call. So how do the ants do it? Well, they serve one another, and they serve their queen. And we can do it by serving one another and serving our King Jesus. And so if you haven't already, I invite you to turn your copy of God's Word to 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 10 through 11. We're continuing our series one step at a time as we seek to do greater things, even the impossible things for God. And so far, we have already said that we need to plan. We need to grow in our faith. We need to rise in worship. We need to reach out in evangelism. And today, we're going to see that we need to serve. If you look around this room, you realize a mighty force for service that is here. And when everyone does his or her part, we can do the impossible. You know, I think one of the best places you can see that happen, especially in our church, is right now during upward season on Saturdays. I mean, everyone from teenagers to single adults is serving in their particular area to make that program happen. Every Saturday, about 1,000 people come through our gym, which means there's a lot of popcorn dropped and a lot of trash left around. And let me tell you, when you can see service happening in an amazing way, like a bunch of ants, it's at about 3 o'clock when that last game ends, and everybody from little kids to senior adults grabs a bucket and a broom, and they go into that gym, and the bleachers are flipped up, and they're moved out, and they're cleaned and mopped, and the floor is swept, and trash is picked up, and in less than 30 minutes, they try to make it quicker every week, that cleanup is done. Now, I didn't get to be here yesterday. I was keeping Evan because Rebecca was at a conference, but last Saturday helped clean up, and I heard someone behind me say, "Well, that is a well-oiled machine," when we were all done. And it is. And you know why that is? Because everyone serves. No one sits and watches. They'd probably get fussed at if they tried to do that. Everybody jumps in and serves. And that's how it should be in the church. Notice what Peter says here in verses 10 and 11. Each one should use whatever gift he has received to serve others, faithfully administering God's grace in its various forms. If anyone speaks, he should do it as one speaking the very words of God. If anyone serves, he should do it with the strength God provides, so that in all things God may be praised through Jesus Christ. For to him be the glory and the power forever and ever. Amen. This morning I want you to know that your spiritual gifts make a difference to others and to God. And we begin with the first truth, that is, God has given you a gift. Notice how Peter begins here in the first phrase, each one of you should use whatever gift he has received. You have been given a gift by God. Before he died, Jesus told his disciples that he would send the Holy Spirit, and that Holy Spirit would be a helper to them. because he would reside in them, Jesus said in John 14, and the Spirit would do everything from convicting sinners of sin to guiding believers. And then, before Jesus ascended to heaven, he told his disciples that they would receive power when the Holy Spirit came on them. And then that power would allow them to be his witnesses to all of the world. That's Acts 1:8. Well, here's the interesting thing we find in the New Testament. It's that acorns of truth planted by Jesus in the Gospels grow to be oaks of truth in the epistles as they are expounded and explained and lived out. And so we see that happen with this truth of the acorn of the Holy Spirit that was going to come. It is developed in mighty ways in the epistles. The Apostle Paul does a lot of work with who the Holy Spirit is, and he talks a lot about the gifts of the Holy Spirit in his writings. And so Peter does a similar thing in this little short passage here. By the time Peter was writing this letter, the idea of spiritual gifts was firmly established in the church. But we need to remind ourselves, what is a spiritual gift? Well, a spiritual gift is a quality or an ability that God gives a believer so that he or she can accomplish the assignment that he has for them, especially in and through the church. A spiritual gift is something God gives you to accomplish a task that he has for you, or even a life task, especially a life task. God decides who gets what gift and even how many gifts. Now, you might say, I don't know if I have any gifts. How do I even know what my gift is? Well, there are several ways that you can determine what your spiritual gift is. For one, you could take what's called a spiritual gifts inventory. It's a little survey where you answer some questions, and people have designed these surveys to kind of pinpoint what your spiritual gift may be in the church. And those can be helpful. But I really think the best thing to do is just go to the Lord and ask him. And as you ask him, go through kind of a process of thinking through these questions that are shown in this diagram. One, start with, what do you like to do? Your affinities. Your spiritual gift is going to be something that you enjoy because it is a gift. And God doesn't give us gifts to become drudgery. He gives us our gifts so that we can be fulfilled. We're finally doing what God has created and equipped us to do. So our spiritual gift is going to be something that we like to do. And sometimes what we like to do out in, like, the quote secular world may relate to what we do in God's world. And then another question is, what are you good at? What are your abilities? Sometimes your spiritual gift is related to something you have a natural ability and inclination towards. So now you may have to work at your spiritual gift to kind of develop it and strengthen it, but that's working at it and strengthening it is kind of a blessing. It's an encouragement because it's doing something you're already kind of good at and you're just improving it. And then the third question you can ask yourself is, what have people affirmed me in? Where are the affirmations in my life? You may have to ask some people and say, what do you see in me? Is there some gift in me that could be used for God in his kingdom and in the church? Because often fellow Christians will see something in you before you even see it in yourself. No matter who you are, no matter how old you are, no matter how long or short you've been a believer, you have a gift that has been given you by God. And here's the cool thing about that. Your gift is unique to you because God knows you. He's not going to give you the same gift that he gives somebody else. He's going to give one for you. He doesn't randomly dole out gifts. He doesn't just drop them from heaven and wherever they fall, they fall. He selects the gift that matches you because he made you, he has a plan for you, and he knows you. Think about this. On Christmas morning, the children in a family do not all receive the same gift, or not usually. I remember a couple of my cousins both got three-wheelers one Christmas when I was a kid. I was so jealous of them getting three-wheelers that day. But usually in our family, we go in our living room on Christmas morning, one kid's going to open a football, one's going to open a game, one's going to open a dollhouse, one's going to open a video game. And although each child does not receive the same gift as the others, the parents intend for the gifts to be used by all of the children. Sometimes they're even used together. And the same is true of the gifts that God gives us. We do not all have the same gift, but we are all to use our gift for the good of all of God's family. When you select a gift for someone you love, and by the way, guys, Valentine's Day is not this Tuesday, but next Tuesday. When you select a gift for someone you love, you want them to enjoy it, right? I mean, that's why you take time to select it. You are blessed when you see them use that gift and enjoy it. And the same is true with the gifts that God gives us. When He gives those gifts and He sees us use those gifts, it brings Him joy. And so as Peter says, we should use whatever gift we have received. So no member of a local church can say, I have nothing to offer. Because we all have lots to offer the kingdom of God. And we must determine our gifts and use those gifts for the kingdom of God. The second truth we see here is that your gift is meant to serve others. Notice the second part of verse 10. To serve others, faithfully administering God's grace in its various forms. God gifts each member of a church to benefit every other member of the church. God has distributed among the church membership every gift necessary for that church's growth and ministry. If ever we cannot do what God is calling us to do, it means one of two things is true. Either someone is sitting on their gift and not using it, or the person who has that gift is just not yet to our church yet, and God's going to bring them along pretty soon. I've seen that take place dozens of times in my ministry. And whenever the person or persons who have that particular gifting step forward, then the church immediately begins doing what God desires. Now, though using your gift does bring you blessing, because obedience brings blessing, your gift is not for your benefit. Your gift is not so you can be honored. Your gift is so that you can serve. And your use of your gift in service to others is a holy trust. Notice that Peter says when we use our gifts, we faithfully administer God's grace in its various forms. That statement there, faithfully administer, in the original language, has the idea, or came from the idea, of the Greek trustee or steward who was responsible for managing the estate of his master. And Robert Mounts explains it this way. He says, entrusted into his care were domestic affairs, supervising tenants, distribution of wages. The steward himself owned no part of that over which he exercised control. He was fully accountable to his master for the way in which he carried out his task. He owned none of it, but he was responsible for all of it. And he was entrusted to care for all of it. And so the gifts that God has given to each of us are related to the unique task that he has entrusted to us. And at the core of every task is to serve others. In fact, everything in the church we do is to serve others. To serve other people, or to serve God. Now, that's easy for the folks in the nursery right now who are changing dirty diapers so mama and daddy can be in here to remember, I do this to serve. But that's not always that easy for others of us in other parts of ministry, because sometimes we can seek the praise that comes from it instead of the service that we're giving out. So we have to be careful. Whatever you do to serve others. Peter even says when we use our gifts, we minister the grace of God. And the grace of God is not the object of our stewardship, so we're not dispensing grace, but it is the basis upon which we are given our gifts. And here's how we know that. The word translated gifts there in this passage is the word charisma. At the base of that word, the root of that word, is the word charis, which is grace in Greek. So these spiritual gifts are grace gifts. And so when we use our gifts, we are showing God's grace. We are sharing God's grace with others as we serve them using whatever spiritual gift God has given us. And when it all is being used, it works together beautifully, like the human body, which Paul mentions over in 1 Corinthians. I mean, think about this. The last time you got something in your eye, but as soon as that happened, your arms started moving, your hands started turning, your finger came out and you rubbed your eye. You didn't have to have a committee meeting of the members of your body to decide what way should we handle this issue with our eye. And then you didn't have to take it to a bigger group and say, now what do the bylaws of our body say about which area of the group can handle? No, what'd you do? Every member just did its part, right? And so before you knew it, you were rubbing your eye. But then your eye started watering. Had you offended it? Had you hurt its feelings? Had you made it mad? No, what happened? The rubbing of the finger made the eye to do what it needed to do to wash out whatever that speck was. All of the parts of the body worked together to accomplish the task just as they were intended, and everything was serving something else. That's what it should be like in the church, as all of the body is working together. So your gift is meant to serve others. Another truth is you should use your gift in the right way. Notice what Peter continues to say in verse 11. If anyone speaks, he should do it as speaking the very words of God. And if anyone serves, he should do it with the strength God provides. Now there are three lists of spiritual gifts in the New Testament. Both of them are given, all three of them rather, are given by Paul. One is in Romans chapter 12. The other two are in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. So remember, three lists, Paul, 12. And these gift lists, I don't think should be considered as exhaustive, like these are the only spiritual gifts God gives, but rather they are representative of the types of gifts God gives. And so here in his little letter, instead of listing out a bunch of gifts, Peter gives us two categories of gifts. He has a category of speaking, and he has a gift category we could call serving. And it's easy to kind of see that these are related to more the upfront gifts and then the behind the scenes gifts. And so Peter's point is simple. Whether you have an upfront gift or a behind the scenes gift, you should use your gift in the right way. So he starts with the upfront gifts, the speaking gifts. And those include preaching, they include teaching, I would even say they include leading in worship, because we are singing worship to the Lord. And notice the instruction given. If anyone speaks, he should do it as speaking, what is it? The very words of God. And so if you have speaking gifts, you have been given a sacred trust because you speak the words of God to the people of God. Preaching is kind of the prime example of how this happens. This thing I do is scary because a miracle occurs every time I preach. And I don't mean water turning into wine or people getting healed. I mean the Lord takes things that I have written and prepared and studied, and I speak that out, and you receive that, and the Holy Spirit applies that to your life. And sometimes the way you receive it is not even how I intended it. Sometimes as I'm speaking, I say things I didn't even think about in preparing. Where did that come from? You will tell me, Pastor, you've been reading my mail. I hadn't read your mail. I don't even read all my mail. But that's the Holy Spirit. You'll say, that was just what I needed to hear today. I didn't know what you needed to hear today, but the Holy Spirit did. And he took that and he applied it to your life. And so I'm glad when you tell me those things, because it reminds me of what's happening as this preaching thing is happening. A supernatural transaction takes place in preaching. And that same kind of thing happens often when you teach a Sunday school class or when you lead in worship. You are proclaiming the word of God. And so we have to use our gift in the right way. So after talking about that category of gifts, Paul moves to the next category of gift, and that is the serving gifts or the behind-the-scenes gifts. These are gifts like those of maybe hospitality or hands-on ministry or even administration. And the word translated serves, interestingly, is the word from which we get our word deacon. So if the pastor preacher is kind of the premier example of those with speaking gifts, then the deacons are the premier example of those with serving gifts. Because the main job of deacons is to minister to the needs of the congregation. They are extensions of the pastor's ministry. But we know that in the church, far more people have gifts of service than just the deacons. And so, how are we to use our service gifts in the right way? Peter says we're to use them with the strength God provides. Well, what is that? It's simply this. God makes possible our serving. Whatever it is you need to do what God has called you to do through your gift, God gives you that. And so the word translated provide originally referred to the personal underwriting of expenses for like a choir for a public festival. You were the one sponsor and you're giving that choir everything they needed to go to that festival and perform. And this is the kind of strength God gives to everyone who uses his or her gift to serve the church. And he does so in several ways. He may grant us the physical strength we need to serve in the way he wants us to do. Have you ever experienced that? When God just gives you that extra oomph that you need? He'll give us the knowledge to know what is best when we need to serve. We're kind of presented with this opportunity to service. Which way should we go? What should we do? He gives us the time we need to serve. Sometimes it seems like God even multiplies our time so that we can do what he calls us to do. He gives us the finances that we need. He gives us the resources. He gives everything. Whatever we need to serve, God provides. And when he does, big things happen. And so it's a shame when people sit on their gifts, because then everyone misses out. And sometimes they don't even know they're missing out. The person who's sitting on their gifts and the rest of the group. I have no idea if this story is completely true or not, but it is shared by Steve Goodyear. And it's the story of a piano player. And the man, this piano player played in bars and was pretty good at the piano. In fact, he was so good that some people came to the bar just to hear this guy play the piano. But one night, there was a customer who'd been the frequent attender to the bar, and he told him he didn't want to hear the man just play the piano anymore. He wanted to hear him sing a song. And the piano player said, "I play the piano. I don't sing." Well, the customer went and complained to the bartender, owner of the establishment. And the bartender said, "Hey, if you want to get paid tonight, sing a song." And so, not having much choice, the piano player who had never sung in public did so for the first time. And nobody had ever heard the song Mona Lisa like Nat King Cole sang it that night. Now, we all know the name Nat King Cole, but on that night, he was an unknown piano player in an unknown bar, and he may have stayed there had someone not called forth his gift so that he became one of the best-known entertainers in American history. Never sit on your gift. Use your gift in the right way. Use all of your gifts, because it is only then that you are being faithful and only then that you can fulfill the last truth, and that is your use of your gift should glorify God. You see that at the end of verse 11? So that in all things God may be praised through Jesus Christ. To him be the glory and the power forever and ever. Amen. More than anything else, this is why we do what we do. Those of us who preach and teach do so to bring glory to God. Those of us who serve behind the scenes do so to glorify God as we touch people and we're being the hands and feet of Christ as a church. So I guess it kind of works like this. I serve and you are blessed. You serve, I am blessed. We serve and God is blessed. Because that is what we are all about. We serve for the benefit of the body, but ultimately for the blessing it brings to God. We serve to bless others and King Jesus. So yes, your spiritual gifts and my spiritual gifts make a difference to others and for God. Now, though we've dealt with this, I want you to think about something. Thankfully, today we have a pretty day. We had a pretty day yesterday. At the LeCount campus, there's this big window that faces east, and we were pretty much blinded at the early part of the service because the sun was shining so brightly. And we're grateful for that because we've had nasty weather. But we haven't experienced what a lot of people in other parts of the nation have experienced with snow and ice and just a mess. And it got me thinking, you know, we don't get to see snowflakes a lot. But when we do, everything shuts down, and we have plenty of time to enjoy it for the 3 minutes that it happens. And don't you go out and you get something where you can catch some snowflakes and you can look at them real fast before they melt, and you see all that every one of them's unique. We know that from science. And we kind of experience that. But we also know they're really frail because they don't last long. But what happens when the temperature's right and a whole bunch of snowflakes get together? They can stop traffic. Frail as can be, but when joined together, they can stop an 18-wheeler. Likewise, by God's design, any one of us on our own may have little impact on the world. But when two or three are gathered, that's where his presence and his power is felt. When the diverse gifts of the individual members of a local church begin operating cooperatively, that's when impactful ministry takes place. Do you want to do the impossible? Do you want to carry heavy loads like ants? Do you want to stop traffic like snow? Do you want to change the world like the early church? Then use your gift along with everyone else in the church, and let's just see what God can do. I bet it will be something we previously thought impossible, and we will do it to him who is the one we serve. May it be to him that gets the glory and the power forever and ever. Amen. Let's pray together. Lord, we thank you for your work in our lives. We thank you for the gifts that you've given, Lord, multiplied hundreds of times over in this church. And Lord, I pray that we would all use our gifts to bring glory and honor to you. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. In just a moment, we're going to give you an opportunity to respond to this message, and I want to give you three ways that you can respond. The first is, if you are a follower of Jesus Christ and you are a member of this church, you need to be using your gifts to serve the Lord through this church. And so, if you don't know what your spiritual gifts are, then I encourage you to go back and review that part of the message where I told you how you can determine those gifts. Figure out what they are. Maybe you answer those questions and just list out a bunch of stuff and you say, now I don't know what to do with this. One of our staff members, some of our key leaders, maybe your Sunday school teacher can help you unpack that and say, okay, well, here's where you are. Here's what you could do. Seek out what your giftedness is. The second is, if you're already a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ and you're visiting here today, and maybe you've been visiting for a while and you're seeking the Lord's will for your life, you need a place to plug in and to use your gifts. And so we'd encourage you to come and be a part of our church family as we do life together and we seek to serve the Lord. We need you. We need you to come and to plug in because there's something not happening because you haven't yet plugged in. And so we want to see that happen. The third way that you can respond is this. You can't experience spiritual giftedness until you first know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. And so we give you that opportunity today. Then you can have Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior if you simply first admit that you're a sinner and then believe that Jesus died on the cross for your sins and then surrender your life to him. It is that simple, but it changes your life. So if you've never trusted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, I pray that in these next moments you will pray and just say, Lord Jesus, I know that I'm a sinner. I confess my sins to you. I surrender my life to you. Lord, I want to follow you with everything that I have. And the Lord will change you right here, right now. We give you that opportunity. So as we stand and sing, we're going to sing this song of testimony. You may come and you may lift up your life to the Lord. You may come and unite with us to serve. And you may come surrendering your life to Jesus Christ for salvation. Let's sing.
Without him, I
I'm forgetting that a lot today. If you missed attending our winter Bible study, the Ephesians Bible study over here, I'm starting it tonight at LeCount at 6 o'clock in the Fellowship Hall at that campus. So if you missed that or you missed one part, we're meeting Sunday night, Wednesday night, Wednesday night, Sunday. So I hope you'll join us. No, Sunday, Wednesday, Wednesday, Wednesday. That's what we're doing. Done it three times. It's the third time. Try to keep it straight. I hope that you will invite somebody to join with you, to be with you next week. Lots of great things happening. Stay up to date with what's in the worship guide because we're having a hard time keeping up with it as well. All the stuff that's going on, and it's good. Miss Ebby Aguilar, one of our first kids, is going to come and lead us in our closing prayer. Thanks, Ebby.
Let's pray. Dear Lord, thank you for today. Thank you for letting us be able to come to church, Lord. Dear Lord, thank you for letting us be able to learn more about you that maybe we not all knew. Lord, I pray that you let us just spread the word about your love of us, Lord. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.